Derek, I kind of want to go full Michael Buffer on this intro.
I won't stop you.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time! We did it, Derek. We have the entire Section 328 crew, most of them, I should say,
yeah,
here in Chicago with us, culminating what has been a fun year of Hurricanes hockey and shenanigans over at 328.com, culminating in tonight, Ron Francis trading the first pick for the Hurricanes in the National Hockey League entry draft.
Oh, please, can that happen? I love the fact that we talked earlier that we are all coming up here as Canes fans for the NHL draft, and the last thing we want to see tonight is the Carolina Hurricanes draft a player in the first round.
Yeah, it's an interesting setup tonight. It is about 11 o'clock Chicago time. Rumors are flying. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of live in-game update breaking news things from
keep the dream alive.
Our correspondent on the street, Canes Prospects, very plugged in to what's going on in the world. So he may break in during the conversation here to give us some live breaking news that will be completely irrelevant by the time folks listen to this, which is a gimmick we love to live.
It is, and I'm realizing now that as hockey fans who have Twitter, we are so spoiled versus the days before Twitter when you had to have seven different forums open and constantly hit control F5 in all of them like a madman. And the OCD was much, much worse in those days. So thanks, Twitter?
Yeah.
Something we don't get to say very often, but thank you, Twitter.
Yeah, no, it's we're excited. This is, again, been the culmination of something we've been working for. You guys have heard us talk about it, and we want to say again, thank you for the support. All of our Patreon folks who brought shirts, we were able to fulfill what we hoped to do, which was keep the audio quality of this podcast halfway decent. We're coming to you from the Chicago headquarters of Section 328. We're all holed around in a small bedroom because the rest of the place we're staying is all hardwood floors and sharp edges, and the echoes were horrible. But we've got some great guests tonight.
We do.
We have Canes Prospects, who's going to be delivering breaking news and talking to us a little bit about his mock draft that went up on Section 328 today. We have our good friend Canalytics, who's going to be here to talk with us about the analytics impact of who we may be choosing tonight. There may be some folks listening who might be, I don't know, let's call them size kings and or queens, who think some of the people that Pat says we should draft maybe aren't as good, and that's where we have to go to the man who knows the numbers, who's going to be able to deliver us that. We also have another very special guest. I think he's in the other room, Derek.
Is he okay?
I don't know. Local media is here with us. We have to call him unnamed local media. He's going to be on the podcast today to talk about Cam Ward.
What else does he talk about?
Nothing. Nothing. Not a damn thing. And also, it wouldn't be appropriate if we did not have our traveling executive producer with us.
Ooh, executive.
The wordsmith of wordsmiths, 328's longest tenured writer, also most verbose writer. None other than at Mr. Work, right? Tom Edwards is here. And Derek, I think this is where you and I have to do something. There's something we're supposed to do here.
I don't know.
Tom, what are we supposed to do here?
Hit the X button.
Oh, shit! Oh. Yeah, got it!
Follow us on Twitter at @section_328. Respect the underscore. And now, back to Derek and Mike.
Thanks, Mr. Voice-ish.
Yeah. It's always fun when we can break out the god-awful rendition of Brass Bonanza.
Yes.
It's a draft exclusive, as every time we come to the draft, we realize, oh crap, the old audio files are not saved on your laptop.
Yeah, they're at the safely stored in the vault inside the Section 328 Worldwide Headquarters, which is currently locked up. So anybody who wants to go over to the Section 328 Worldwide Headquarters, expect to be beaten around the knees and ankles, not only by my child with a hockey stick, but probably around the head and neck area by my wife.
Yeah, and if anybody is trying to, the combination is certainly not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Because Mike is not an idiot, and his house is not luggage.
Let's talk about luggage. Let's talk about there's going to be 31 guys tonight who are packing their bags, heading to a new city tomorrow for what is going to be a very, very interesting interesting ride. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think we've talked about this before. It's one of the more fun nights because you get to see the family's culmination of what has been 6 a.m. car rides and tons of practice and work for these young kids. And it really is. We talk about them as, you know, they are moving parts and pieces and chips and trade value and all of that. But there's 31 families whose lives are going to completely change tonight. Mm-hmm. And of those 31, 20 of them will probably become NHLers.
Yeah, that is one of the things I've enjoyed about coming to the draft is really seeing that, because it's cool to see on TV the family celebrating, but it is a different vibe in there when you see, especially like with some of the early picks and the first rounders, hell, even some of the late round picks, how deep of a roster they bring to the arena with them. I mean, they might spend 10 minutes just hugging everybody, and it's a lot of fun, and I really hope that one of those guys is not coming to Raleigh. Actually, all 31, I hope, are not coming to Raleigh.
Well, you know, as we talk about that, Derek, before we get into that draft, let's take a second and talk about the draft that happened Wednesday night.
Okay.
The Vegas Golden Knights made their selections and have formed a team?
Well, in terms of, like, the number of people, they do have the requisite number of NHL players. However, I don't think their team is going to look anything like this come preseason and regular season.
Speaking of teams that may not look like they're going to look now and then later, I think we have breaking news. Ooh. Let's go live to the street at Canes Prospects. Pat Clark.
We have a trade to announce.
Ooh.
Ooh, hey, Gary.
I think the local people will be interested. Chicago acquires Connor Murphy and someone whose name anagrams to Dolph Lundgren for defenseman Nicholas Yarmolson. So that's a Blackhawks Coyotes trade.
Huh. Wait.
No salary retained.
Wait, okay. So they gave up Yarmolson but did not give up Hossa?
No.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Interesting. I mean, I was looking forward to that Pavel Datsyuk, Marian Hossa connection there in Arizona.
Those guys could turn into something.
Absolutely. Well, that, I mean, you know, they still have Chris Pronger on defense. I think he actually retired.
Yeah, I think when he's not running parts of the Florida Panthers front office, he does take a shift on the blue line every now and then.
Yeah, it's, God, what a dumpster fire the Arizona Coyotes are. They have no coach.
Right.
They have no president of hockey operations.
Mm-hmm.
They have no captain.
Mm-hmm.
They have no starting goaltender.
Mm-hmm.
And they're giving up prospects for Nicholas Yarmolson.
Woof.
Yeah, it's a good day to be a Cane.
Oh, it's even a better day to not be a Yotes fan.
Yeah. Much respect and love to our friend Kat Silverman, goalie guru Kat Silverman. But yeah, and our friends at Five for Howling, I think, is the SB Nation blog. Has been,
yeah, drink one for them and do so often.
Yeah, but the Vegas Golden Knights again made some interesting picks. They've got some players. I mean, there was not a lot of surprises with the big names.
I would say not with the big names, and I think one of the more interesting ones, particularly folks who listen to this podcast, we're all thinking it's Stempniak, right?
Like, or Norty.
Yeah, maybe Norty. If there is any grace in this world, they will take one of our goalies. They weren't that kind to us. And they took, I even forget the guy's name,
Connor Brickley.
I didn't know what that was. I assumed it was some kind of topical treatment.
No, yeah, I thought it was actually a code name for Chicago pizza.
Hmm, okay.
Kind of square and thick.
I think you can just call that lasagna.
Okay. But yeah, no, they took Connor Brickley, and then we saw quickly that was just the first part of good things to come, because it was not only Connor Brickley, but it was Connor Brickley and a fifth-round pick for the privilege of not taking Lee Stempniak. And folks could go, wait a second, you gave up a fifth-round pick to protect...
I'm sure we have some fifth-round pricks around this league.
I'm sure we do. To protect Lee Stempniak, and I think... You know, in the event we have to trade for any reason a guy like Stimpy at the trade deadline, we all know Stimpy gets you a third-round pick at the trade
deadline.
He's
worth more than a fifth.
Right. He's absolutely worth more than a fifth in terms of value. So we've got that. But then the Knights took guys like James Neal, Marc-Andre mm-hmm. Fleury, Nate Schmidt. I mean, that's pretty good start.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to say is if we're holding on to a guy like Stempniak, he could be a forward that goes back in a trade if we're getting a forward.
Absolutely.
So he has a lot more value even if we're not trading him for a pick, because hopefully we're not having to make deadline deals as a seller yet again, but hopefully this can be a piece that's like, okay, we give you a young, promising defenseman, we give you a veteran forward, give us your first line center, please, and thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Another guy who became a Vegas Golden Knight was a former member of the Chicago Blackhawks, young American defenseman Trevor Van Riemsdyk.
Ooh, it looks like we may have some more breaking news.
Breaking news. Let's go live to Kane's prospects. I believe he's on the corner of Michigan and Roosevelt.
According to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet.
Reliable.
Wow, I am hearing there is a Panarin for Saad deal in the works.
What?
Ooh.
So are we saying Chicago is once again going to kneel before Saad?
They wanted him back.
They want him back.
Wow, Panarin.
Panarin in Columbus.
Ooh.
That makes that team better.
I love seeing how many guys have two good seasons with Chicago and then leave because of cap hell.
Yeah, but I mean, why aren't they trading Hossa? I mean, trade Hossa to Vegas or trade Hossa to somebody to get that cap relief so that way one of these teams can get to the cap floor.
I don't know if maybe Tom or Pat or Oliver or local media has any better insight on how long-term injured reserve works and affects the cap. Tom, maybe you have any insights, but I don't know if it affects their cap the same way. I'm sure it would still be beneficial if they could get rid of his deal, but I don't think it's as penalizing as if he retired.
No, if he retires, it totally puts it into cap hell because there's recapture and all that. Anything that if the contract wasn't structured equally across the entire course of the contract, which it wasn't.
It was one of the back diving contracts. Yeah.
If Hossa were to retire because most of it was front-loaded, all that comes back. Any of that money that was saved technically on the cap earlier comes back in a complete wave to nail them now. So if he were to actually retire instead of long-term IR, it would murder the Blackhawks.
Right, but it's the perfect tradable contract because even though it's like $5.5 million in terms of a cap hit, his actual dollar value that you have to pay Hossa for this contract is like $1 million for the next 4 years.
And for a team like Arizona, we were talking earlier, they have to spend, I believe it's $23 million to reach the cap floor.
That was before
the Chalmerson trade.
Right.
So they still have to spend, I don't know what Chalmerson was getting paid, but I'd guarantee it's not $20 million. They have to spend a lot to get to the floor, and they could, you know, air quotes, spend that money on Hossa's cap, but only have to spend $1 million actual dollars on it.
Right. I mean, as we said, they need a goalie. They need a captain. They need a coach. They need lots of things out there in the desert. That's one of the fun things about draft day. There's so many movements. There's so many things going on. And then, you know, we hear all of the rumors out of Edwards Mill. Oh, wait. There are no rumors out of Edwards Mill Road because that's where Fort Knox Francis lives.
Absolutely. And Mike, I cut you off earlier with the breaking news. We were going to talk about the other acquisition or the acquisition that the Canes made yesterday to get former Blackhawk and as someone called in to the press conference, one-time member of the Vegas Golden Knights, Trevor Van Riemsdyk.
Yeah, that was, he was one of the longest tenured Golden Knights that I could remember. I mean, he has been with that team as long as I can
certainly
remember.
Certainly top 30.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you were to rank
the all-time Vegas Knights?
If you were to rank the all-time Golden Knights defenseman, I think he's like top five ever.
So I don't know who's running their blogs, but, you know, we'll be doing our all-time Hurricanes update this summer. But I wonder, like, because you have to do it before the season starts, they have to rank their top 30 Golden Knights. And as we do, you can only judge it based on their performance with the team. So does Fleury get bumped to number one because he's worn the jersey more?
Oh, I mean, Fleury's number two.
Ooh, who's one?
James Neal.
Okay.
Because if you don't rank James Neal number one, he's basically going to chop block you from behind.
Yeah, elbow you in the head, yeah. Something like that. That's a good point.
So for the safety of those bloggers, our friends, rank James Neal one.
So is Trevor Van Riemsdyk on the Hurricanes roster opening night?
Abso-freaking-lutely. Trevor Van Riemsdyk is a piece. I don't know what piece it is though, because we have to see how the next 48 hours play out.
Okay.
Because we have defensemen. We have a fair amount of them.
We do.
We have young, quality, cheap defenseman.
For now.
What we don't have is a good first-line center. Now, there's been, again, people say, oh, look, getting Trevor Van Riemsdyk is not a replacement for a guy like Justin Faulk. Newsflash, you're absolutely right. But you have to deal from strength to get strength. Our strength is currently our defense. Now, what do we want to do? Well, I want to trade the number 12 pick and Jake McEwen. Or
who?
No, Roland McEwen, sorry.
Roland Bean.
Roland Bean. Isn't that what we do over here in the park later? Anyway. anyway, so like Roland McEwen and that first for Alex Galchenyuk. I don't think Bergevin is that dumb. We've been shocked before.
Yeah, I don't know that Galchenyuk is like the number one center that we want.
No, he's absolutely not. The number one center we want, we will talk about him, I'm sure, at length. But that's a deal that like we could, you know, at least propose and not get laughed out of the GM meetings. And then you say, okay, maybe you do a first and Flurry and a third round pick or something like that. I don't know. But when you start talking about guys like solid number one potential centers with potentially even more upside than what they've shown in their careers, mm-hmm. I'm talking guys like Matt Duchene.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Nathan MacKinnon. A first at Hayden Fleury is not getting you one of those guys.
No, it starts the conversation on Duchene. I don't think it does on MacKinnon.
No.
I think that's what gets you laughed out of the room. But when we heard earlier that the only guy that that Colorado doesn't want to trade is Rantanen, it's like, wait a minute. MacKinnon's name wasn't in that sentence.
Yeah.
Is he really available? What sort of ransom would it take? And we hold Nathan MacKinnon in really high regard, mainly because of his speed. And I looked at his stats. Granted, stats aren't everything, and he's played on a dumpster fire of a team the past couple years. But he hasn't been the point producer that you would say, if you just go and look at what he's produced, that really meets the praise and the fawning that we're going to.
Agreed. But also, what I want to do is I want to look away from what he's done with Colorado, and I want to look at what he has done with Team Canada.
That's a good point.
And if you look at Team Canada, and you look at, there's another player that plays for Team Canada fairly often. I believe he's a 53.
Waste?
No.
Oh, I was like, good Lord. It's old Eddie S. Ice Hockey. Fat guy.
Yeah, no. Nathan MacKinnon and Jeff Skinner have chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
They've played together. They know each other. The ability to be able to put Nathan MacKinnon with Jeff Skinner is every eggplant emoji I can put in a 140-character tweet.
I believe that'd be 140 of them.
Okay. I mean, you know math better than I.
We did that with goats last year at the draft. We tested that theory.
Yes, we did. Long live Julian Gauthier. But yeah, no, MacKinnon's that guy that we want.
We'll see. I'm trying not to get too excited, Mike.
But if we were to go after that, Nathan MacKinnon's going to cost you somebody like Justin Faulk and a first.
Yes,
because they're very valuable. Now, is that a hit to the Hurricanes' defense? Absolutely. But that makes us so much stronger up front.
You have to give up something good to get something good. And that's what's going to sting later. Pat wrote about it this morning in his predictions for what Ron Francis does these next 2 days. And it started off with, you're probably not going to like what happens. And that could be from inactivity, or it could be, you want to get something good, you may have to part with a fan favorite player or someone that you know is a really, really good defenseman like Justin Faulk is.
Yeah. I think this is the year that Ron Francis is going to have to make a move. There's lots of moves out there to be made. I think with the salary cap being virtually flat, you know, it's bumping up a couple million dollars, but that's due to the NHLPA. The salary cap is relatively flat. We're going, it's $75 million. That's fat cash. But we have to figure out a way to fill that hole. And with guys who are in the pipeline, like Fleury, like Bean, like MacKinnon, like Carrick, plus some of the free agents that are potentially out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that a combination of Cody Franzen and Trevor Van Riemsdyk are going to replace the 20 goals that Justin Faulk is going to give us and the power play quarterbacking he is going to give us. But I think that's the spot that if Faulk were to move on, Noah Hanifin has to fill it. And I think he's getting up there to the point where he should be able to start fill that role.
I mean, we saw the improvements that Hanifin made. Some of it could have just been his own development and maturity, but we saw a lot when he played with Falk the end of last season as opposed to playing with the revolving door of Suk.
Right, and I don't think that putting Noah Hanifin, you know, saying if we trade Falk, and then all of a sudden you end up with Hanifin having to play with a guy like Trevor Van Riemsdyk, that is not a recipe for success. You look at TVR, good player with Chicago, but if you look at his stats, he was sheltered. They tried to put him up there, I think, with Seabrook for a little while, and his stats kind of shit the bed. But,
well, some of that could be on the fact that Seabrook is probably not as good as a lot of people say or think he is.
Let's go to the man who may know, Canalytics.
The thing about Riemsdyk, I think, like Mike said, he's quite good when he's sheltered. But if you look at his stats, he actually has good stats that compare to a second-pairing defenseman. So if he's stuck on the third pairing, if we don't, like Derek said, if there's an inactivity, we're good, man. It's a really good move for that.
Yeah, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, I mean, I don't know math very well, but I do know TVR greater than Ryan Murphy.
Oh, for sure.
TVR greater than Matt Tennyson.
Don't forget Klaus.
TVR
I wish
greater
I could.
Than Klaus Dahlbeck.
And he's paid $850,000 this year, and he's a restricted free agent after the season, as is, if we trade Justin Falk, literally all of our defense.
Yes, it's there's some contracts to be handed out still, but I think it sets up to be a very interesting day at the Hurricanes table.
Allow me to add one thing.
Yes.
There was a trade that was floated out there by a local media who is not in this room, and it involves Justin Falk going to the Rangers for Derek Stepan. Do not want. Derek Stepan is a fine second-line center. Fine. He's certainly not a 1C, and he's damn sure not a great 1C. Do not want. Justin Falk is more valuable than Derek Stepan.
I think Derek Stepan actually is a 1C. He pretty consistently puts up 50 points a year. The thing is, he's not worth Justin Falk. Justin Falk's cannon of a shot is so much harder to find in the league than anything Derek Stepan can do.
Yeah.
Well, that, and I think we were talking a little bit about this last night. What we don't need is a huge point-producing center. What we need is someone who can drive play, who can help create space, and can help deliver value to our finishers. We are beginning to get some finishers on this team. We still need more. Mm-hmm. But when you've got guys like Skinner, when you got guys like Aho, Lindholm is kind of, you know, he's
Lindholm's
not,
a setup guy.
He's a setup guy as well. Jordy's never going to be that guy. You know, he's a defensive stopper, and he is phenomenal, and we love him for what he does. But he's never going to drive that crazy good offensive show that is going to help create space for a guy like Skinner or Aho.
And having a player who can set up Skinner, I think, is going to be really helpful for Skinner's game, so he doesn't have to create everything by his damn self.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jeff Skinner turned into a grown-ass man last year.
Oh, no, he's gotten really good at figuring out where not to be, where the dangerous areas are, how to create his own shot, and let a wrister go. But if he has someone who can get him the puck and doesn't have to do all that work, that's going to be so good for this team.
Another guy that Falk really benefits from and gives him benefit is Noah Hanifin. Their play styles complement each other really, really well. You know, Hanifin can set up Falk with a shot, and our power play will succeed.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of interesting things to be had, and thoughts to come. But I just, you look at what this team is doing, and tonight and tomorrow could be transformative. We have a goaltender that we're going to have to get rid of, you know, because we're not going to carry three NHL goalies. Mm-mm. And I think we all agree that Scott Darling is the number one goaltender for these Carolina Hurricanes.
You heard it from them, Mike. He's got to earn that spot, yes. As I say, laughing.
Scott Darling is humble.
He is.
Yeah, he's humble. I think there was a song about that recently or something.
I think so. I think Kendrick was rapping specifically about Scott Darling.
That's what I thought. I mean, they're close.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all of us in this room who are part of the Section 328 family, we are smitten by the personality of Eddie Lack.
Sure.
We are not necessarily as smitten with his game, and we all know how Bill Peters feels about him.
And we all know how poorly Eddie Lack as an asset was used with this team.
Yes.
We've gone over it before. I don't need to retread that, but it's not Eddie Lack apologies for his play. It's why, how do you just mess this up so badly? Well, but again, I think all of our goaltending is going to be improved not only by the acquisition of Scott Darling, but by the fact that we have an NHL goalie coach now.
Absolutely. And thank you to the Pittsburgh Penguins for firing their goalie coach so that way we can get him and continue to make Scott Darling great again.
Me likey. So he has won the last two Stanley Cups.
Yes.
Does that mean we get the next two?
I hope so.
I think that's how it works.
And, well, Derek, then that leaves the other goaltender, and that other goaltender being Cam Ward.
Mm.
Something has to happen. We have both goaltenders, Eddie Lack and Cam Ward. Neither of them have ever been a consistently good backup goaltender. Eddie Lack's best stretch was when Ryan Miller was hurt and he was in front.
Yes.
Cam Ward has never had to be backup goaltender since late 2006.
Mm-hmm.
So,
God, I forgot Martin Gerber was a thing.
Yeah. So one of those guys is either going to have to be the backup goaltender or both of them are going to have to go. And we are going to basically pick up another goaltender out there. And wait, I don't know if we have a goaltender trade to announce, but it looks like Kane's Prospects is over there at Millennium Park. Looks like he has looks like he has an update for us.
There is a goaltender being traded, but it's not the ones we were hoping for.
Son of a bitch!
Looks like the Columbus-Chicago deal is a done deal. Brandon Saad and third-string goaltender Anton Forsberg heading to Chicago for Panarin, rookie Tyler Mott, and there's a draft pick somewhere.
Wow.
So in theory, Forsberg was the third string guy behind Bobbs and Corpusalo.
Mm-hmm.
So he could be Darling's replacement in theory.
Cue the Ron Paul, it's happening .gif.
Yes, it's all happening. So there's another goaltender spot that the Hurricanes can't take. I think what we need to do is, we've talked a lot about Eddie, we've talked a lot about Scott. We need to know.
Do we have to do this, Mike?
We do. Let's go to.
Local media here. We may as well talk to local media.
Right. Let's rip the duct tape off their mouth. So local media, thank you guys for being here to actually travel with the team to cover it in some form or fashion, but. There's a good chance Cam Ward is not a member of the Carolina Hurricanes by Tuesday, whether that is via buyout or whether that is via trade, or there's a chance that Eddie Lack is no longer a member of the Carolina Hurricanes. So if you're sitting in Ron Francis's chair, local media, who are you trading and why?
I am trading Eddie Lack simply because
Shocker.
I think that Cam has the potential on rest to be a very good backup. You play him 20, 25 games a year. I think Eddie has potential, but he needs to play a lot to get in that groove. And with Scott Darling in the fold, you want him as your starter. You want him playing a lot. So I think Cam is ideally more suited to that backup role. And with Scott Darling not having been a starting goalie in this league really before, you have a guy in Cam Ward who's got Stanley Cup experience, championship pedigree.
Whoa.
And so I think that's a good safety net behind Darling as well.
Wow. I mean, okay. So with Eddie Lack, we heard from Canalytics earlier, when Eddie Lack played his best, it was when Ryan Miller was down, and he did get a bulk of the games in that time, but he only played about 27 games or so that year. That's about what we'd want from a backup goalie. I don't think Cam Ward has played that few games since last time Rick Nash skated across the crease with reckless abandon. So hearing Cam Ward and potential in the same sentence also makes me kind of cringe. Your thoughts?
Well, like you said, I don't think it's been a long time since we've seen Cam with that reduced workload. He's played, I think we can all agree.
And by long time, you mean never.
Yes. 05, 05, 06.
Yeah, his rookie season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, but I think we can all agree over the years he's played way too many games per season for this organization. So I think
we can all agree on that.
Yes, way too many.
And
six seasons too many.
And he has had his good stretches, so I think it's worth seeing what he could do with more regular rest and a reduced workload.
Hey, now,
hey, Derek.
Yes, Mike.
Local media just referenced a really good 13-game stretch by Cam Media by Cam Ward sometime in the November-December timeframe.
Hmm. Shocker.
Yeah. Can't imagine that happen. Would you? I don't know. Any other platitudes you'd like to throw in there about Cam Ward before we kick his monkey ass to the curb there, local media?
He is a wonderful human being.
We've never argued that Cam Ward is not a wonderful human being, a good father, a great family man.
Yeah, really good. Makes a damn good bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Remember 06.
We can't possibly forget. This organization makes damn sure we remember it
on
a daily basis.
Local media just dropped a microphone.
Wow. Now, this is a really good thing that we're on carpet instead of the hardwoods because, one, damaging the equipment. Two, there'd be a lot of echoing and really ruining people's commutes or sitting at their desk wondering what the shit just happened.
Yeah. Derek, what happens? What happens with the goaltending situation? And is it maybe even a more important situation? Is it going to get played out before we get back to Raleigh?
So, you know, we enjoy the bit of bagging on Cam Ward because his glove hand is trash. However, I think...
His glove hand is trash.
Yeah, well, yes. But I think Cam Ward may actually have a little bit more value to other teams who see themselves as cup contenders because they could build the fact that, you know, hey, when Cam Ward's been in the playoffs, he's played really well. And he is a veteran. Maybe they can see him doing well with a reduced workload. He is more of a known quantity than Eddie Lack. And if there's a team out there that has maybe a young starter, I'm not saying Pittsburgh, but maybe like a Pittsburgh, and they need someone as a veteran backup. He only has 1 year left on his deal. Maybe that's something where we could get a low round pick or something and keep Lack. The salary difference, I believe Cam Ward in real dollars is only paid $100,000 more than Eddie Lack. So it's effectively a wash.
Yeah. I look at teams that are out there that need a backup or better goaltending situation. Immediately comes to mind Arizona.
They need everything.
They need everything. I don't think either one of those guys can thrive in Arizona at all, considering the situation. And I honestly, I wouldn't. Is it sad to say not? I wouldn't wish Arizona on Cam Ward at this point.
I think that's reasonable.
You know what I would wish on him? A place that has no parks. Nothing would make me happier than to have Cam Ward come in to Winnipeg and ruin Paul Maurice's last season and cause him to get fired.
That'd be the tears would be so delicious.
Oh my God, I would put those tears, I would mix them with some mayonnaise and make chicken salad and eat it for a week.
Hold on, do the tears like conjure up chicken? Because you mentioned just tears and mayonnaise and then said that's chicken salad. I don't think that's how the recipe works, Mike.
Well, I saw a thing on Tasty that. You know,
did you put celery in your tear salad?
It's delicious.
Do a California tear salad. Put some grapes and some walnuts in there.
I like that. some Winnipeg burrito roll with tears and celery and eggs, huevos
and bears.
The other place that I think is fairly obvious is Pittsburgh. They need a Conn Smythe winning goaltender to back up Matt Murray.
And Mike, quick question for you. How does JR feel about reclamation projects?
Pretty sure. Let's go to look, take the one, carry the seven. Yeah, he likes him.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Ron Hainsey, never been in the playoffs before. Jim Rutherford trades for him. Ron Hainsey wins the Stanley Cup. I'm pretty sure that's how it's going to happen again, right? I mean, Jim Rutherford trades Carl Hagelin for Cam Ward.
What?
Yeah, why not? There it is. There we go. Breaking news.
Because Carl Hagelin is worth like 7 Cam Wards.
So Cam Ward is like worth what? X? I mean,
.14 Hagelins.
Is that the what is the numbers ratio here?
I believe 7 times 0 still equals 0.
Oh, tough crowd. So
we could trade for a guy named Arl Hagelin. He's never put on skates.
All right, so let's assume. I think we all agree that our hope and want is for Ron Francis to trade tonight's pick and make a big splash.
Yes.
In the event that does not happen, does not play out, because again, it we like our team and it takes trades are tough and it takes two people to trade. Let's go to Kane's prospects. Pat, who are some of the guys that Kaniacs should be really excited if they are there at number 12? And who's the guy we should fear beyond all fear?
Fear beyond all fear.
I mean, it's Casey Mittelstadt, right? He's the guy who has that really good upside and has the size, but potentially could be a head case and really may or may not ever be in the National Hockey. Let's say, is Casey Mittelstadt this year's Patrick Stephon?
I think he's this year's Phil Kessel.
Ooh, America's favorite Husky athlete?
Yeah. You know, he's got the terrible profile picture.
Right.
Oh, God.
He's got a squidge face.
You know, people question his work ethic. He's going to the University of Minnesota.
Yeah. Minnesota. Okay.
Is his sister better at hockey than he is?
No.
Okay.
No. But I don't think there's anyone to fear, honestly, in the top 12
okay.
picks that are going to go.
Suck it, Vegas, pick it at 13.
Yeah, something tells me they're not going to be picking there.
Yeah, all right.
But we'll see. I think there are enough guys. What I don't want to see them do is settle for a center who profiles a lot like Victor Rask, like Nick Waugh, Lucas Walmark, assist machines. They require the wingers, kind of like when you were talking about with the 1C, need someone to feed the other guys to finish.
Right.
I think they need a center to finish on his own. So a pure playmaker. So the guys I highlighted earlier this week that we want to see, someone like a Mittelstadt, a Michael Rasmussen. Most likely, if they make the pick, and dear God, don't make the pick, Ron, Casey Suzuki.
Okay.
Nick Suzuki?
Excuse me, Nick Suzuki. You know how many draft names I've been staring at for the past 3 weeks?
You have been poring over no less than 5 draft guides, and I can only assume several hundred names, many of which are god-awful Western Hockey League, you know, interpretations of Braden or other names spelled with a Y in there for no good reason.
I can confirm. Yes, can confirm. No Bradens, Cadens, Jadens in the first round this evening.
Okay. Well, that's
my lock of the night.
That's huge.
So, big of true. So there are good playmaking centers or centers now that will probably shift to wing that are worth taking at 12. I think the play should be to move up in the first. If a deal for a top 6 center cannot be made, move up and grab a surefire center like Cody Glass.
Oh. So tell us a little bit more about Cody Glass.
Cody Glass plays in the WHL. He's probably behind Nolan Patrick and Nico Hischier. He's the best center on the board.
I like it.
More than likely, Vancouver kind of has targeted him at 5, so his career is going to be ruined immediately.
Right.
So he'd be a nice salvage product.
Long live Jake Virtanen.
And I think he is most likely to play in the league in 2018-19. Most of these other guys need 2 or 3 years, like Mittelstadt, Suzuki. They're going to kind of finish out their junior and play 1-2 years of NCAA respectively. So if you want a guy that can jump in next season when RFA hell hits 1400 Edwards Mill and you need a cheap center.
Okay. That's not a bad look.
But I think that's kind of the consolation. If they can't get the 1C, draft that guy. And I think other teams would want to acquire him in a trade, too.
So what you're saying is Eddie Lack returns to Vancouver plus the 12 plus a lower level prospect. Let's call it Trevor Carrick. I mean, can we move up and get Cody Glass for that?
Probably not. We'd probably have to move with either Dallas or Colorado.
You don't think Vancouver's willing to drop to 12 is what you're saying.
We'd have to sweeten it for them to give up Glass.
If you're going to ruin a guy's career, you know, it's only dropping 7 spaces anyway.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm excited. I've watched a lot of highlights of Suzuki, and his game seems to be just a lot of fun. You know, I'm one, and again, while he plays a different position, we've got that guy who is doing a good job of putting the puck in the back of the net, is somewhat irresponsible defensively, in our last year's first-round draft pick in Julian Gauthier. Are Gauthier and Suzuki, while very different from a size perspective, are they too similar from a play perspective to be kind of back-to-back first-round picks?
I would say they're completely different.
Okay. Again, I've watched the highlights. You've read stuff.
So,
reading is hard.
With the exception of Gauthier's play at the World Juniors last year, he needs to be fed the puck. Suzuki takes it himself.
Okay.
You know, he is Jeff Skinner-ish.
Ooh. I like Jeff Skinner.
I like Jeff Skinner a great deal.
Better defensive player than Jeff Skinner was probably 5 years ago.
Okay.
So, you know, you have the potential for a 2C, but that's his ceiling, is a 2C.
So you're saying, for your options, one, trade the pick, get a first-line center.
Yes.
Option two, trade up, get Cody Glass. Option three, stay put, get Nick Suzuki.
Yep.
Nick Suzuki's gone, Glass is gone, Mittelstadt's gone. Most of the guys we're looking at are gone. Is there any value in moving down to, you know, I saw SB Nation was talking about us potentially moving down to like 20 with St. Louis, based upon some needs and some wants that St. Louis had. Everything I've heard is that the guys from 10 to 30 are so close. If there's value to get moved down 8, 10, 12 spots into the latter part of the first round, what's your take on that, Pat?
Yeah, I think 1 through 7, based on the rankings, are kind of cemented. You have your top two that are going to go 1-2. I don't think a defenseman's going first overall. Then you have a grouping probably from 8 to 24 that pick them. Okay. Plenty of good guys. Probably want to look for more of a pure winger. So like a Kim Clouston, as long as you can ignore the Russian factor, local media.
Now, Pat, is he enigmatic?
Well, he's Russian.
That was a dumb question. Yeah. I like to automatically retract that.
Yeah. So you have a guy like him. I want everyone to take a deep breath as I say this. There are a lot of good defensemen to take in that lower half of the first round.
Pat, I was just about to ask you, is there any chance the Canes take a defenseman? If so, how upset are Canes fans and how many tasteful items get broken?
Will you remember that question for 2 minutes?
Yes.
Canes prospects is now live at the intersection of Madison and Helmhurst. Let's go live to Canes prospects with breaking news.
According to TSN's Darren Drager, it sounds like another big Arizona trade in the works. Ranta and Stepan likely to the Coyotes. Seventh overall could be part of the package with defenseman Anthony DeAngelo.
Wow, seven got them Stepan and Ranta?
Good God.
Interesting.
All right, that's
look at John Chayka down there in the desert going, I got a plan. I'm gonna go get a 1C.
And can somebody else go buy me beer because they're checking IDs?
Yep. So
sorry, Pat. If the Canes take a defenseman at 12, how angry are Canes fans? How much stuff gets broken?
Oh, they're gonna be butthurt. I hope they're not using the fine china at the draft party this evening.
I have it on good authority that Mike Forman has laid out chinette, so they should be good.
Okay.
He blinked three times for that one.
Three times?
Yeah.
Thrice?
Tom heard it.
Yeah, so we're not taking it. I'm just going to cut off Pat. We're not taking a defenseman.
No.
If we take a defenseman, I'm flipping the table that doesn't exist in front of me at the United Center tonight.
I hope that doesn't turn out to be me.
Yeah, no, and we're gonna make our way to the United Center tonight. So when you guys hear the yells of joy or the screams of anguish emanating from the third level, just know that will be us.
Do they have a Section 328 here? If so, we have to sit there.
Oh,
right?
We will absolutely be sitting in Section 328.
I don't care if it's all obstructed views.
Yeah,
live the gimmick, damn it.
Speaking of squeals of joy, Derek.
I'm curious.
Kenyad Nation let out a good squeal of joy this week.
Go on.
The warning flags have returned. We wouldn't be doing this podcast, you know, right, if we didn't take a second to talk about the jersey reveal this week. Canalytics, I know this is something you're very passionate about. How did you feel?
Well, the entire
evening. Were you pantsless?
Eventually. The entire evening was a roller coaster of emotions because of that low res leak that came out where. At first, like, that looks
someone
like warning flags.
Someone took that picture with a potato.
And the closer I looked at it, it looked like the warning flags went away. And then, you know, so me and, like, Love and Hydrogen were going back and forth. Like, are they actually there? So it was a huge relief when they showed those little sublimated flags on there. I'm quite happy they're back. And I like the black, too, to be honest.
Yeah, I like everything about the new sweaters. I like the return to the warning flags. The laces look a little bit out of place. I think they'll, Pat, you and I were talking about this, they'll probably look better with shoulder pads and that type of thing. But
yeah.
Aside from that, and the kind of the way they have the collar done made it look a little bit like a polo collar. So, that you know, that may lead itself to more Tar Heel fans buying jerseys, which I'm fine with. But, yeah, I think overall the jersey is a beaut. I can't wait to see that white jersey.
Oh, yes.
I'm looking forward to it, and I'm jealous of everyone at the draft party who will probably see it before us.
Yeah.
I think I was kind of hesitant to really invest any emotion in the jersey when I saw the collar, but the more I thought about it, just think of how like a NFL jersey looks, the collar kind of wrap around the shoulder pads. I think it's going to look good in person once we see it on the ice. Yeah, so,
and I hope those laces look better in person, too, because I know, Pat, we talked about it a little last night, and the way the collar is, it's hard to tell the depth on it. But in these pictures that we're seeing, it really looks like the laces just kind of emanate out of the top of someone's chest, which seems an odd place to tighten something.
Well, the jerseys will be on display at the Hurricanes draft party tonight. Kicking off, I believe, at 6 o'clock tonight over at the PNC Arena. So while we will not be there, we will have Section 328 will be represented. Go see Raleigh Monkey. J.C. Bobbitt will probably be rocking a Puck and Sunshine shirt. He'll be easy enough to pick out. And Meg, our very own Love and Hydrogen, should also be there.
In a delightful hat.
Yes. But it looks like Kane's prospect is on the move again. He is standing on a rock in Lake Michigan with breaking news.
Guys, looks like you can put to bed all those Falk for Stepan rumors. Done deal. He's headed to Arizona.
Woo!
Good.
Glad to know that's not happening. So,
But, Mike, you mentioned draft parties.
Yes.
There's one happening at the arena tonight.
Yes.
One fun draft party happened last night here in Chicago. It is part of the reason that we are here as podcasters at the, I don't know how many annual, but this is our third time going to the MVSW, the Merrick vs. Wyshynski podcast draft party meetup, where we get to meet a lot of other fun hockey podcast listeners, hockey bloggers, and it's always fun to shake hands with Jeff, with Wish, and to unfortunately say goodbye as Sean Leahy's tenure at Yahoo, but he will still be writing hockey somewhere great. But it was a great time last night. Tom was also there with us. Tom, your thoughts?
Yeah, I was looking forward to some Long Island rage with Leahy, and it just never panned out. But, well, we still have the weekend to go. But,
we do.
It's just one of those events that it allows everyone kind of to get together, people that haven't met each other but have conversated online, and just to be able to get together and talk about hockey. We met Jen, NHL history girl, who was great to talk to.
And who will also be a future returning or recurring guest on this very podcast.
Yeah, and just being able to meet her and just... Again, people that you meet online, you know, that you've spoken with online for potentially months to years, and to be able to actually put a face with a Twitter feed or a blog, to be able to actually meet these people in person, just have conversations. It's a great way to meet new friends, to actually like make a bonding experience kind of thing. And again, Merrick Wyshynski, Leahy, all those like fun to talk to, and just be able to see them in person as well. So just a real nice night to get together and hang with the boys and girls.
Yeah, it was a great conversation. Again, you can expect to hear folks like NHL History Girl back on this podcast. You can expect to hear, I don't know, maybe guys like Scotty Waz probably going to join us on the podcast. Jeff Merrick said, I'm coming back on the podcast. So we've got good guests that we're going to be lining up for you next year, not only to talk about great things at Hurricanes hockey, but maybe we'll even get them to answer some cheat mail questions, Derek.
Oh, hold on. Did the song stay in Raleigh too?
No, we got some cheat mail. Gmail. Gotta go get that cheat mail.
Hey, he said it! Mike, first question.
Yes, sir.
From Will Looper. While in Chicago, will you go flick the bean? I don't think he means Jake.
Yes.
I think we may go do that right after this podcast.
Probably. This one from Carl Keekus, or Keeks, or Kooks. Pretty sure he is a kook. He is at K to the RL. What level wizard is Ron Francis, Derek?
Ooh. Not grand.
Wow.
I don't know my wizarding levels, but I will say...
do we need to hand this off to Canalytics?
That may be a good move. I will say, if nothing else, he's certainly wearing a cape that gives him plus 10 patience.
His polo actually is plus 10 intelligence.
Oh.
Thank you. So there we go. And Derek, I've got another one here for you. Let's see. Do you see this one from Christopher Clark at DogButler2? Do you see GM Ron Francis making a trade for a forward at the draft?
Is this where I'm Debbie Downer? Because I don't think it's happening at the draft. And this may be a defense mechanism that I'm not trying to get too excited, but I really don't see it happening. And I'm gonna need some cathartic alcohol tonight for the drunk podcast.
I think he makes a trade for a forward at the draft. I don't think that trade is made at the draft for one of the big names that we are all hoping and praying for, but I do think that there is a third line winger or fourth line center to be had somewhere for a fourth, fifth, sixth round pick somewhere. Somewhere.
But bonus, Pat, did you have something on that? Or
Ryan Nugent Hopkins.
Ooh, R&H. Eh.
So he's at that second tier. I'm not terribly excited, but the man can put up 60, 70 points.
That doesn't suck.
That's all we need. Are we just shooting for, like, three named players now? No, but we're looking for a center who can score 65-plus points.
And I think we may make a trade with the Hornets for Michael Kidd-Gilchrist while we're at it.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then we'll get Ruben Boomche Boomche.
Ramon Boomche Boomche.
Oh, my apologies. Mike, this is from our buddy Matt Peterson. On a scale of 1 to Alex 7, how disappointed will you be if the Canes leave the draft without getting a top 6 forward?
If the Canes leave the draft without a top 6 forward, I think I will probably be... I mean, I'm definitely not Alex Semin disappointed. I'm somewhere along the lines of...
Should we go Muda scale so you could be like 0.6 Semin?
No, I'm thinking I'm going to be somewhere along the lines of... No, not even Zach Boychuk disappointed. I think I'm going to be more like Sandis Ozalinch disappointed.
Which makes sense for the drunk podcast.
Exactly. Derek, speaking of drunk podcast, I know we've got to save some cheat mail for tonight.
We can get more.
But in order to get there, we're going to have to drink at least a beer.
That's a good point.
And it looks like you are drinking a beautiful, beautiful golden beverage over there.
Oh, am I? So one of the things I love going on...
I have to interrupt you.
Wait, please. Looks like Canes News has... Canes Prospects has breaking news coming to us live from the roof of the United Center.
I'm not on the roof of that new Apple building.
No.
Looks like a MacBook. Anyway, NHL's Dan Rosen says, hearing whispers of Nate Schmidt, number one defenseman in Vegas's hearts, heading back to the Eastern Conference, likely to a contender.
Ooh. So that rules us out.
I would say that is Pittsburgh?
Interesting.
Maybe. That's my gut check.
Yeah.
Okay. That could be something. So thank you for that. And stay safe on the roof, Pat. One of the things I love about going on vacation or on the road anywhere is trying beers that are not distributed in North Carolina. I've already had some Three Floyds. I've had some Revolution beer, one hilariously named Fist City. It's a good beer. But this one is from Half Acre Brewing. It is called Tuna, and it is an extra pale ale. The can does not have any description on it, but on their website... They say, why is the beer called Tuna? We don't know. Just say, I'll take a tuna. It sounds good. I was like, yeah, okay. I like your approach to this. They describe it, the flavors, as green apple, Jolly Rancher, watermelon, peach, guava, a dense body to hold up the sweeter finish, lemon, lime, citrus zest, and tropical fruit juices. I don't know that I would have picked out all those flavors, but this is a damn delicious beer. I don't know, honestly, the differences in how they're made between an extra pale ale and like a session IPA. This kind of fits that bill. It's 4.7%. I love tropical IPAs. That's no secret to anyone. And this really, really does fit that. Mike, like you said, it looks tasty. Maybe not to you, but it's, you know, a pretty clear golden colored. It looks like it's been filtered, but not overly filtered. There is still some nice schmutz at the bottom of the can in a good way, not like the beer has separated. But it is just, yeah, there's a lot of tropical fruit on the nose of this. It tastes the exact same way. It finishes nice and dry and hoppy. And if you ever see Half Acre Brewing distributed somewhere, pick up a can of tuna. They come in 16-ounce cans, and four of them was like $9 or something. Damn good beer. I will be drinking more of these while we're here.
I was drinking coffee this morning, and that coffee had more than regular cream in it. So that coffee was delicious. Thank you to the good folks at Trader Joe's. And all hail Culpus.
How about Trader Joe's? Like, I'm not going to get into the blue laws in our state. How nice is it to be in Trader Joe's and pick up booze?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. Like, and not even just, you know, like, oh, look, they have a bottle of Two Buck Chuck. They had bourbons that we can't get in Raleigh that we may or may not have enjoyed last
night. They had delightful Japanese whiskey.
Yes, it was delightful. Chicago is delightful. We are looking forward to a delightful time tonight at the National Hockey League entry draft. And, you know, thank you guys. You guys helped make all of this possible. Go to section328.com for all of the coverage today, and you will be able to keep up with all of our takes tonight. Uh-oh, looks like Pat is live on the floor of the United Center, standing next to Ron Francis. Pat, you've got breaking news. Go ahead.
Well, we have a bit of a correction to announce. Okay. And a warning. Look for the blue check mark.
Oh, no.
Dan Rosen got me.
Oh. Bum, bum, ba, boom.
Well, let me rephrase. Former guest Daniel Freeman. Has he been a guest on the? I don't know.
Not anymore.
He got me.
Yeah. Like Pat said, watch out for the blue check mark today. Trade deadline day, free agency day. Do not listen to anything that Darren Dregar has to say or Boob McKenzie. Look for the blue check mark, kids.
Yeah. We don't have a blue check mark because we are just a Mega Man and a section, but we hope we are number one in your podcastery hearts. This has been fun, Derek. This has been fun to all of the Section 328 crew. Thank you, guys. Everybody, have a blast out at the PNC Arena tonight.
Yeah. I just want to say again, thanks, everybody, for listening. We always appreciate hearing from you. That's part of why we keep doing this for so many years. Thank you, especially to our Patreon supporters who have helped get us here and helped put us up in a place where we can provide a lot of great coverage for folks. We are living the merch. We are wearing the merch here. If you like the merch, head over to section328.com, click the Buy on Amazon button, check out some of our merch. We've got 10 different shirts up. Wow. So we hope you will enjoy them.
Absolutely. You may see Jeff Merrick wearing a Cheaters Never Win shirt if you're floating around Chicago today.
Or Sean Leahy in a Hot Takes Now shirt.
Yeah. Guys, we appreciate it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. For those of you who are a Patreon, we will be working on the much-promised and probably much-derided inebriated podcast later on tonight. And
if you're not on Patreon yet, there's still time to hop on and get it as low as $1 a month, which is honestly completely appreciated. You can have access to the Patreon-exclusive Drunk Podcast.
And with that, on behalf of Derek, on behalf of Canalytics, on behalf of Kane's Prospects, on behalf of Mr. Workrate, and hell with local media, my name's Mike.
This is Derek.
We are out of here.
Yeah!